The Boise State Public Radio app. News, music, and more.
Idaho Matters.
Morning Edition.
All things considered.
The Connector.
And more.
And more.
You can take us wherever you go and stay connected. Without it, you're missing out. Download it free.
You can also communicate using the Talk to Us tab.
The Boise State Public Radio app.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Raises for teachers, bonuses, and better benefits. The Idaho legislature made some big investments this year in our state's K through 12 education system. They approved an 11% increase to the K-12 budget, bumping it up to $2.3 billion. Kevin Richard, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Ed News, has been following this year's legislative session, and he has an update on where all that money will go. Kevin, it's always nice to have you on the show.
Thanks, Gemma.
So before we get into all the numbers, Kevin, Governor Little made education a priority once again this year, and it looks like lawmakers actually agreed with him. Did he actually propose the 11% budget increase?
He basically got everything he asked for on education at the start of the session. So yes, all of the things that you talked about at the open, those were proposals that the governor laid out at the beginning of the session. The idea of increasing teacher pay by 11%. Let's talk about how that works. That's a combination of some state money and some federal coronavirus aid designed to move teachers along that career ladder a little bit more quickly. The $1,000 bonus, and that goes to every school employee, not just teachers, but to administrators and also to classified employees. That was one of the governor's proposals. This whole idea of putting more money into insurance for all school employees, not just teachers, that was one of the governor's proposals at the start of the session. So by any objective measure, you have to look at this session from an education standpoint and say that Little won big in terms of getting his proposals through the legislature.
So Kevin, you mentioned that some of the money for the raises is federal aid, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What the governor did a lot this legislative session was, we talked about this $1.9 billion surplus at the start of the session. And some of that surplus and some of that infusion of cash really comes back to the federal coronavirus aid that's been coming through all state houses for the past 2 years. Little tried to put a lot of that money into education and put a lot of it into one-time investments in education. So this $1,000 bonus, that's one-time money. The infusion of $50 million into this Empowering Parents Grants program, which we can talk about more, that's all federal money. So it's a combination. You have pretty robust state tax collections coming in, income taxes and sales taxes, but you just have a ton of federal money coming through. And that was one of his big initiatives was to put some of that federal largesse into education.
So I know we've talked about how, you know, teachers are going to get this 11% pay increase, Kevin, but administrators are also getting a raise. Can you talk about how much? But also, was everyone on board with school administrators getting a raise? Because that's not always the case.
So administrators will get a 7% raise. And you're right, Gemma. When the education budgets came up on the House floor last Monday, it feels like it's 3 months ago, but it was only last Monday.
Right?
Heather Scott, Republican from Blanchard, one of the most conservative members of the House, asked, are we really giving a 7% pay raise to administrators who also are receiving a $1,000 bonus? She voted no. And as I recall, that was one of the education budgets of the seven education budgets. I think this was one of the ones that received maybe the most dissent on the House floor. Still passed overwhelmingly, but you had a pretty a sizable chunk of conservative lawmakers voting against it.
Okay, so you mentioned these bonuses. You said everyone's getting a $1,000 bonus. So administrators included teachers, but classified employees, which I think we could assume are, you know, janitors, folks like that. So once again, though, Kevin, not everyone was on board with the bonuses. And yes, and then why?
I think part of the pushback you had about the bonuses was the use of the federal coronavirus aid. That was a recurring theme during this legislative session, whether we're talking about money for education or whether we're talking about any of the other federally funded initiatives this legislative session. You had, especially on the House side, you had some hardline conservatives who were just going to draw the line on using ARPA money or using federal aid to put into anything, whether it's education or otherwise.
If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with Kevin Richer, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News. We're talking today about lawmakers hiking the K-12 budget by 11% this year. So, Kevin, lawmakers also agreed to a quite big investment in health insurance for school employees. Can you talk about this beefing up of employee benefits?
I can, and this is something we're going to do some more reporting on here in the next few days, trying to figure out exactly how this is going to work and what this means on the ground. What the state did at what the legislature did at the governor's request was put a lot of money into employee health benefits. This works on two levels. There's about $75 million that goes into a fund that would allow school districts to decide to move their insurance onto the state employee insurance plan, which is a pretty good health insurance plan.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that, or they can decide not to. And some districts, we're going to try to shake out and get a sense of which districts are going to go with the state plan or stick with the plan that they've got. Beyond that, the legislature agreed to put another $105 million into school employee benefits. And again, that could be, you know, carved up at the district level any way the district chooses. You know, mm-hmm. they can choose to stick with their existing insurance or improve their existing insurance or go on the state plan. The idea is, at the outset of the session, the governor's office was saying, hey, look, we're putting about, I want to say, $8,000 a year into a school employee's health benefits, as opposed to a state employee where we're putting about $12,000 a year into their employee benefits. So what the governor's office was saying at the outset is this is an imbalance. We need to put more money into it. We need to do better for school employees, believing that this is going to be a retention advantage, that it's going to make it easier for school districts to hang on to not just teachers, but administrators and some of these classified employees that are really hard to hire. I mean, you talk to any school administrator right now, they'll tell you, hiring those classified employees, and here we're talking about anything from a bus driver to a cafeteria mm-hmm. worker to an IT professional, those are hard positions to fill. And a lot of districts have really been struggling to do that. So the objective here with all this money going to insurance and employee benefits is to try to make it a little bit easier for school districts to recruit employees and keep them.
Well, and Kevin, I think a lot of people have been under the impression that school employees were already on the state insurance plan. So just, I think, giving awareness to that, to the general public, may help understanding why they're doing what they're doing.
We heard some pretty heartfelt testimony from a lawmaker, in fact, as this bill made its way through the legislature. Robert Blair, a new legislator from North Central Idaho, from Kendrick, newly appointed senator, he's seeking re-election. He was talking about how his wife was a classified employee with one of the local districts. And basically her whole paycheck was gobbled up by covering the cost of insurance. You know, she was basically just working for, you know, to hang on to benefits. And that's not an isolated thing. We heard that from other witnesses during the course of the debate. And, you know, again, we really want to get a better look at what's going to happen now on the ground. How are school districts going to implement this? And legislators are going to want more details about how this is implemented. They've asked for districts to report back and say how they spent the money that they're receiving for benefits.
So, Kevin, let's talk about this new plan that lawmakers put in place in regards to trying to keep teachers in rural areas, but also in high poverty districts. Can you talk a little bit more in depth about that plan? Because we know it is a real problem to keep teachers in rural areas.
Yeah, and this is another one we'll want to watch and see how it plays out. But this is not one of the governor's proposals, but he did sign it into law last week. This is one Senator Ginny Ward Engelking, a Democrat from Boise, Representative Sally Toon, a retiring legislator, a Democrat from Gooding. They have been pushing for some kind of an incentive plan for several years. They got it through this session, and here's how it works. So it's not, I have to be really careful when I write about this to word it carefully, because It is a rural incentive program, but not exclusively rural incentive. A teacher working in a high poverty school district is also eligible for the money. And it's not strictly a loan forgiveness proposal, which has been proposed in the past. Teachers can use the money to offset the cost of their student loans, or they could use that money to go back and get a master's degree or get credentials so that they can teach in another subject matter. So a lot of flexibility in the program. It's going to be piloted out this year with about 750 teachers will get a cut of the first round of money that was approved last week. You know, supporters of the program hope that it will grow over time and more money will go into it and more teachers will be able to get in on it.
So, Kevin, we started the whole legislative session talking about all-day kindergarten, and then it didn't seem to get as much buzz. So where did all of that end up?
Well, at the very last minute, a bill did pass that will help pay for possibly all-day kindergarten. And again, this is pretty much what Governor Little wanted all along. As far as the dollar figure, he got exactly what he wanted. He asked for $46.6 million. That's coming down the pike. I mean, it's been passed. We assume he'll sign the spending bill into law. And what the legislature decided to do here was put the money into the state's literacy program, which in turn allows the school districts and the charters to spend that money any way they want to. Maybe all-day kindergarten, maybe not all-day kindergarten. They can spend that on summer programs. They can spend it on hiring more, early elementary teachers. They can hire a reading coach. They can do any number of things like they're already doing, including all-day kindergarten. So we'll see how that money gets spent and whether it actually leads to more all-day kindergarten options around the state and whether it takes some of that all-day kindergarten cost off of the property taxes where a lot of it is right now, whether districts will get rid of some of these tuition programs that they've had to put into place to pay for all-day kinder. Yeah, so much happened this year and so much was put into education in terms of spending. We're going to have our hands full the next few months and next year, just keeping an eye on how it all gets spent and what is the end result of all of this, because just what was proposed and what was approved this session, that's just the beginning of the story.
Yeah. So, Kevin, you've been covering education for many years now here in Idaho, and this seems a bit unprecedented. And maybe that's overstating it a bit, but there have been so many years where it seems as if education has not been a priority in our legislature, and it feels different this year. Is that a proper assessment? But why or why not?
I think one of the things that was different this year, well, obviously what was different was you had money to spend on a lot of these programs. I mean, going back to this school employee insurance proposal, this is something legislators have been wanting to do for years. Some legislators have really been wanting to do it. The money was just never available. You could say the same thing for all-day kindergarten. You were able to put money into a budget line item that could pay for all-day kindergarten. So money helps. Money makes things happen. And I think you certainly saw an example of that this legislative session. But I think to your question, Gemma, I think the tone was a little bit different on education this year. And I'll be the first to say that I was surprised by how the higher education budget passed the House really fairly easily. The past 2 years, the House has voted down higher education budgets, and they've made the budget committee go back and trim some money out of the budget. Last year, it was about $2.5 million of cuts that was forced by the legislature voting down the first version of the budget. So you cut $1.5 million from Boise State, $500,000 out of U of I, $500,000 out of Idaho State. This year, really, the higher education budget passed easily, and not just some surprising votes within that. I mean, the majority of House Republicans voted for the higher education budget the first time around. I did not see that coming.
Okay, final question. Any idea when the legislature is going to wrap up and go home?
Well, they go back into session Thursday morning, and this is really, they'll be done on Thursday would be my best guess, because really all they're doing they have done all of the work that they need to do in terms of passing legislation. And they were there until midnight on Friday night. We were all there waiting for them to pass through the final couple of budgets, including that library budget, which, you know, became a saga unto itself. They're done right. with all of that. And really all they're doing coming back on Thursday is preserving the option to override any vetoes that are that the governor issues between now and Thursday. The governor has to act by Thursday on everything that's on his desk. So the legislature reserves the right to come back and try to override a veto. That's about all they're doing. And my guess is they're probably going to be done on Thursday.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Kevin Richards, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News, talking about lawmakers hiking the K-12 budget by 11%. Kevin, always good to have you on the program.
Thanks again, Jenna.
Up next, an update on an initiative to put more money into Idaho education. Stay with us for that. This is the Idaho Matters podcast. I'm Gemma Gaudette.